Understand them who just love this weather. Because I am not one of them. On days like today, and hot and humid and sticky days, I am the sort of person who really just feels like watching the grass grow. And I know that there's a few other people like that as well, right?
Amen?
That it just, for me, I'm a northern person. It just seems to sap my strength. It just seems to take the motivation out of work, doesn't it, at times? Where you just feel like, yes, the grass needs to be cut. These things need to be done. These things need to be done, but it can wait for another day. Pardon me?
Then it won't be grass,
then it will be hay. And so I know that there are other people like that. Jesus was telling parables of the kingdom. This is what the kingdom is like, the kingdom of God. And he said it's like seed that is sown. And grains are a form of grass. They are a type of grass, so I can say it's like watching the grass grow. Or if you take a mustard seed, and I'm not too familiar with that particular plant that Jesus had in mind, but I presume that because the seed is small, and we could probably take a scientific explanation and say, well, if you do this, then this happens, and this chemical is released, and this reaction happens, and whatever. But in that day and age, and for most of us, it doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is that when you put a seed in the ground, it grows. That's all that matters to us. And yes, we may water it, if we remember. And that we may fertilize it, and hopefully not over-fertilize it. But really what we're concerned about is simply that it grows. We're not concerned about its motivation. We're not concerned about anything else. All we want it to do is grow. And it grows. And it seems to grow as if by magic. And I'm not saying it's magic. As if by magic. But Jesus was telling these parables to the disciples and to us, so that we can understand the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God's rule is. And it's throughout the world. He is the king of heaven. He is the king of this world. By right of creation. By right of who he is. He is the king. He is the Lord. And of course, there's that opposition. The devil is fighting against God. And we need to be aware of what God is doing. And God is at work. God's kingdom is growing, just like the seed is growing. And it is there. Simply, it is there. So why does Jesus tell us this? Why does Jesus use these parables? First of all, he tells us these things so that, one, we can understand. That we can understand what God is up to. Jesus says, if you have eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to perceive, then use them. But he also wants us to understand what the kingdom of God is about. And that's very important because there are a lot of people in this world who really are not concerned about understanding what God is about. They would say, just so long as your heart is all right, then it doesn't really matter what's up here. But I must disagree. Because God made us with a mind and with a heart, if we have it in our heart to say, Jesus is okay, but we really don't have an understanding up here, then the next thing that comes along that catches our interest and our attention will draw us away. We are one, our heart and our mind are two parts of us, and the scripture says we need to be one. We need to be one. We need to understand as well that Jesus is the Lord. There is none like him. He is unique. He came from heaven. There is no other way to heaven. He is God's Son. He is the beloved of the Father. And we need to understand that. That Jesus suffered and died. And there were more than 500 witnesses that were able to attest to his resurrection, having seen him in the flesh. And that's not simply a matter of believing it in our heart, but also knowing and understanding in our head. That if we don't get that, and if we are not convinced in our heart and in our mind that this is true, then anything that catches our fancy, well, we can say, well, I've been there and done that, and I can move on. I can go on and just go on to the next thing. So that Jesus tells us these things, number one, so that we can understand what the kingdom of God is about and what God is doing. The second thing is, I believe that he gives us these parables, teaches us this word, so that we can anticipate what God is doing. When we plant a seed, we anticipate that it will flower, that it will produce food, that it will do the thing that God intended it to do, and it will do what we intended it to do when we plant the seed. Not only do we, when we plant the seed, we do wait and hope and expect that the seed will sprout. Sometimes we plant seed that doesn't sprout and we say, what's going on? But that's only part of the journey. That's only part of the battle. Once it's up, then we want to see it come to the end, and we're anticipating that the flower will flower, the tree will grow and give shade or produce wood or whatever expectation that when we plant seed potato in the ground, that it will produce potatoes, and we will expect that that will happen. There is anticipation. At the right time, this thing will happen. And so Jesus teaches us, live with anticipation to see what God is doing. Last week, I asked you to pray and ask for opportunities to share God's word, to be a blessing with somebody. Did that happen? Did anybody have opportunity for that? Yes, you can raise your hand if that's the case. Yes, there's a few people. Praise God. That God gives the opportunities, and those things don't just happen, but God is at work in hearts and lives and giving opportunities, but we need to be living lives of anticipation so that we can say, Lord, how is it going to happen today? How will I be able to share your word, be a blessing today? Whereas yesterday I would not have expected that to happen, but we bear crops of righteousness for God. At times it calls for patience. In the book of Revelation, when it speaks about the church suffering, yes, there is times where we need to be patient and wait for the deliverance of God. But Jesus tells us this so that we can say, it might be difficult, but it's coming. Deliverance is coming. It might call for patience at times, but I like the word anticipation better, don't you? What's God up to? I want to be a part of it. We do it so that we can be prepared. You see, God is always at work. There are some people who will say, where is this God you are speaking of? Where is God? And people go about their lives and say, it doesn't matter if there's God up there, it's only what you can do. By your own strength, by your own smarts, by your own whatever. But God is always at work. He's always at work. He's always preparing. And so our part is to understand, to be prepared, to anticipate, to join in with that. And he gives us the opportunity. And we can say, God answered prayer here. God answered prayer here. This person showed up at just the right time. I discovered the solution at just the right time. Nobody can tell me that it was just by accident, but God is at work. And so we live in the process of discovery. What is God doing? God's kingdom is present and it's future. He is at work now in this world, but there is a day that is coming where it will be seen by all. Present and future. And that's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me until I come again. So what we are doing is we are remembering how Jesus said, the kingdom is among you. But he also said, do this until I come again. Do this in remembrance of me. God is always at work in our lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of many people. But we watch, we anticipate, we participate. We join in with what God is doing. And he says, in Jesus, when he was saying this, he did not say anything to them without using parables to the people that were with them. He told them as much as they could understand, but he explained it. And that's what Jesus is doing today. Is he saying, be alert, be aware, God is at work. Let's join in with what he is doing and understand what he is doing. The kingdom of God, it's greater than this church, it's greater than I, but it's God's sovereignty, God's rule, God's power, God's grace that's given to us, and we join in being part of it. So, anybody else want to join me in watching the grass grow? Not just watching the grass grow, but we continue to say, Lord, what are you up to? I want to be a part of it. We've already heard the invitation as we seek the Lord. The Lord said, come. The Lord said, come and receive in blessing. So let's join together in repeating these words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. Let's join together. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Let's continue to pray. God, our Father, you are the sovereign one and leader over everything. Heaven and earth pulsate with life that began in you. Therefore, every detail of our lives, every thought and every action is known to you. And because of this, Father, we acknowledge that we have sinned against your love and protective standards. Please remove from our spirit and soul that which both violates your goodness and causes pain in others. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your desire and ability to make us complete and whole. We desire to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May God receive all the recognition. Amen. And let us, as we prepare, examine our hearts. That in our heart and in our mind, we are convinced that Jesus is the Son of God, who came, who lived, who died, who rose again, to believe and to trust. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And let's pray the Lord's Prayer together in unison as it's written. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our Father, we understand you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, in an unprecedented gesture of love. The depths of your love amaze us, and we now come to your table in humble obedience, and will continue to do so until Jesus returns once and for all. When we take this bread and juice as Jesus instructed, help us remember they represent Jesus' body and life-giving blood. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Amen.